I will love and cherish. Did you say those words, moist-browed, sweaty-palmed, and weak-kneed in that moment of truth before God and those witnesses? Why such a vow to cherish? Was it perhaps because marriage is one of the most highly perishable relationships known to man? Is not marriage always perishable, unless we let it be cherishable? I'd like to pursue that thought with you in a few moments here on the Mennonite Hour.
Marriage, perishable or cherishable? That's the question David Augsburger is exploring today in the opening program of a stimulating new series on husband-wife relationships. His messages in this series have already been printed in a new paperback fresh this week from the press. The book, Cherishable, is keyed to a new home study course on marriage released for the first time today. The new course, Marriage and the Home, and the Herald Press paperback Cherishable, are now available to all our listeners who are interested in breaking through to deeper intimacy in marriage. Later we'll be giving details and address. But first, today's study class discussion with David Augsburger entitled Marriage, Perishable or Cherishable, just after the Mennonite Amen.
Bless this home, O Lord, we pray. Make it safe by night and day. Bless the family living here. Bind them close with love and cheer. Bless the food which is prepared, and each guest with whom it's shared. Bless the children through the years, guide in all their joys and tears. Bless the Father strong and true, and the faithful mother too. Bless their steadfast love that makes their home like heaven above. Bless this home, O Lord, we pray, where we live and work and play. Bless us all that we may be fit, O Lord, to dwell with Thee. Bless us all that one day we may dwell, O Lord, with Thee.
I will love and cherish. Have you ever made that promise? Love lives when it is cherished, when it is nourished faithfully. But love perishes when it is taken for granted, when it is assumed, when we forget that love is a living relationship from moment to moment. And that's how it is in marriage. Love is perishable, and marriage is perishable, unless it is kept cherishable. Cherishable. Now that's a word for marriage. And if we enter into marriage, as the Bible suggests, for purposes such as these, to live together in harmony, to live together in love as though you had only one mind and one spirit between you, to never act from motives of rivalry or personal vanity, but in humility to think more of one another than you do of yourselves, to never think only of your own affairs, but to each learn to see things from another's point of view. Now, if we were to enter into marriage with such motives, as the Bible suggests, then certainly both love and marriage could be cherishable and not perishable. But with such a high percentage of marriages becoming so rapidly perishable today, we might ask, why then do people marry? If not to live a self-forgetful life, seeking to see from the other's point of view. Many people are asking that question just now. Why should any two people, as different as people are, care to ever commit themselves into such a perishable venture as marriage? What could be worth all the difficulties involved in blending two continually developing personalities into a single unity? What good could possibly justify the enormous energy demanded in achieving and sustaining emotional intimacy or intellectual integrity and social, spiritual, physical fidelity for a whole half century or more of marriage? Why do we choose to marry anyway? To regulate and legitimize sexual activities? Well, true sex within the security and open intimacy of marriage does find the perfect context for genuinely free love. Because then the person experiencing the "I accept you completely as you are and as you will be, whatever the future may hold" kind of love can afford to express himself or herself without any inhibiting fear of rejection. But sex is not and should not be the sole nor the central reason for marriage, even though sexual relationship can be both fascinating and fulfilling. Then why do people choose to enter into such a perishable relationship as marriage? Perhaps for social relationships, for community acceptance. You see, marriage has been virtually a membership card to our social structures in the past. Our community systems have an unspoken and highly unjust prejudice against singles. The unmitted assumption is that every red-blooded adult ought to indulge in marriage. It's a base to be touched in your life or you're counted out. But one can be for marriage without insisting that it is for everyone. There is the alternative, and a very honorable one, of remaining single. The unmarried state is not a condition to be pitied, or a challenge to matchmakers, or a plight for humorous labeling or libeling. It too is a role of dignity. Why do people choose the perishable relationship of marriage? I would guess that the list of reasons unconfessed but all too real is embarrassingly close to many of us. For a woman, marriage may be a symbol of success to prove how desirable, how attractive, how sexually irresistible she is. Or it may be a way of dropping out of competitive work or copping out of an ill-fitting career or of seeking an emotionally supportive situation where it's easier to cope with life. And for the man, marriage can mean a lover, a laundress, a hostess, a chef, a housekeeper, a nanny, a nurse, an all-purpose person to be used as needed. And many of these reasons that I've just stated, once accepted grudgingly, are recognized today as being thoroughly unworthy, in fact, almost destined to bring us into perishable relationships. Motives are being examined today. Lids are being lifted, assumptions are being questioned, and that's all well and good. Marriage stands to benefit. It's time we ask, what are the real reasons for entering into a perishable relationship like marriage? Do you really want to make it authentically cherishable? Because if marriage comes to be respected as the truly voluntary decision to live life in an intimate, permanent relationship, then it may become once more an act of responsible freedom, as it was intended to be by the Creator, who called men and women to choose to become one in genuine, cherishable relationship. For that's what marriage is meant to be, a covenant to mutual growth. It is saying, we pledge to grow together, cherishably, to grow in tune with each other, to love and cherish, to grow in openness to each other, in the kind of intimacy where we can truly cherish one another. We'll not seek to escape face-to-face relationships. We'll look long into each other's souls. We'll not seek to avoid life's problems. We'll let those problems provide insights for more penetrating self-understanding. We'll not seek to eliminate our differences and individualities, but use them as opportunities for complementing the other's personality traits. We'll accept the contrasts in our tastes, our habits, our opinions, our prejudices, the beliefs and values that we hold different, as an uncharted kind of territory for mutual exploration and for ongoing conversation. And we won't let it become a battleground for conflicts. We won't let it be an excuse for our love becoming perishable. Now, such a covenant of marriage is a rich venture into relationship. And that's what marriage is. A covenant to each that you will help the other grow to your fullest potential. Each of us possesses potentials that may lie fallow. Each of us has dormant possibilities that the other must arouse and release. There's more to each one of us than the other ever sees. There are depths that haven't been plumbed. And in marriage, the truly loving partner is the one who constantly prays, Lord Jesus, release every gift that lies dormant in my wife or my husband. Fulfill every possibility. Let us not live out our lives without discovering the full potential that you've entrusted to us. Give me the love that frees him or her to be all that he or she can be through your power. That's cherishable marriage. The Apostle Paul described it best in his words on love. Hear them again. I will give to you a love that is patient, a love that is kind, a love that endures. I will pledge to you a love that is not jealous or possessive, a love that is not proud or selfish, a love that is not rude or inconsiderate. My love for you will not insist on its own way, will not be irritable or resentful, will not keep account of wrongs or failures. It will rejoice when good prevails. Our love will know no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It will outlast everything. Our love will stand when all else has fallen. Our life together will have three great qualities: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. That's the way to cherishable marriage.
To His blessed promise, now in faith we cling. Comforter most holy, spread o'er us thy wing.
Today's discussion of the meaning of marriage is a part of the first chapter of David Augsburger's new paperback entitled Cherishable, Love and Marriage. This paperback is the companion textbook for a new home study course on husband-wife relationships, which we offer for the first time today here on the Mennonite Hour. The correspondence course and the paperback text will be available free to all listeners during September, October, and November, as David Augsburger continues this helpful study of marriage relationships. Write. Ask for the paperback, Cherishable Alone, or enroll in the course and receive the book with it. There's no charge. Our only recommendation is that couples study the course together whenever possible. Mutual study and reading of the Herald Press book, Cherishable, can help husbands and wives break through to new intimacy and understanding. Our address is the Mennonite Hour, Harrisonburg, Virginia, zip 22801, or the Mennonite Hour, box 334, Kitchener, Ontario. The address again, the Mennonite Hour, Harrisonburg, Virginia, zip 22801, or the Mennonite Hour, box 334, Kitchener, Ontario. Next week, the continuing study of marriage relationships examines the role a man plays and its significance in marriage. Join us then, won't you? This is Richard Weaver reminding you that no man can know Christ truly except he follow him daily in life.
Follow with reverent steps the great example of him whose holy work was doing good. So shall the wide earth see my Father's temple, each loving life, a psalm of gratitude. Then shall all shackles fall, the stormy clangor of wild war music o'er the earth shall cease. Love shall tread out the baleful fire of anger, and in its ashes plant the tree.